8 o'clock, and another South African icon who's joined me in the studio now, Gavin Steinhobel, Klopper's attorney at law. Hey, nice to see you again, Gav.
Yeah, that Kurt Darren, I must say, impressed me very much one night. A friend of mine hired him for his 50th birthday, and one of his songs was very popular at the time. I can't remember which one, but in any event, hired this guy, and we were at the Umhlali Golf Club in the hall, and he must have only been about 30 or 40 people, but he performed as if he was at Ellis Park, a true professional. Yeah, you know, he really was impressive, and he was very good with the kids, and he had them up singing, and I was really impressed by him, a consummate professional artist.
You're so right, and there are many South African artists that punch way above their sort of fighting weight because they are so pro and so passionate about what they do. Just sadly, we just up until recently haven't had many venues on the North Coast particularly, but it's all changing, and that's good. We're talking property law in terms of, you know, Gavin's expertise as an attorney specializing in property law. We talk about just about anything on a Wednesday, and sometimes one gets into a little spot of bother by being so I think we should avoid politics and religion and sex. I think we should just do that.
I know, those are the fun topics.
But I thought, you know, we'd also, because apparently this year there have been changes to rules for homeowners associations and bodies corporate that a lot of people are excited about, because it gives the owners of properties certain, well, shall we say, access to information, apparently. New rules. You presumably are familiar with some of them. The new rules that I'm just reading here for homeowners associations and bodies corporate in South Africa in 2025 focus on enhanced transparency, compliance, and governance under a new directive signed into law on the 18th of July by the Community Schemes Ombud Service. It all sounds very posh and proper. And generally the gist is that they're giving people more access to information, and in certain instances, whether it's bodies corporate or homeowners association, they've got recourse to meetings, and they can change certain members by vote, etc., etc. Are these kind of reforms, in your opinion?
Not really. I mean, government, whenever it gets involved, is more of a hindrance than a help, in my view. Ronald Reagan always famously said the most feared sentence that you can ever hear is, "We're from the government and we're here to help." There was a good initiative that the government did bring about a couple of years ago, and they created CSOS, which is, as you said, the Community Service Ombud, and so the Community Schemes Ombud Service. And so what this meant was that if you're in a dispute with the trustees of your body corporate, or with another owner in the scheme, or another owner in your homeowners association, or even the directors or trustees of your homeowners association, instead of having to drag them off to the high court and spend all that money, they created what an ombud that would sort of mediate and arbitrate these issues, and it's cheap as chips, and it means that, you know, people have some recourse to the legal process without necessarily being bankrupted by it every time that they have a dispute. It's a very good initiative, and to some measure it has been very successful. It's a quick resolve to disputes that can quickly become ugly or intractable. So it has worked well. I'm not sure that I know, for instance, if we want to deviate when we register a sectional scheme, if we want to deviate from the rules that are laid down by the, you know, in the Act, and you want to sort of have your own rules for your scheme, you have to have them approved by the Ombud, just to show that the rule, you know, just to have the rules scanned, and then they approve them, and they'll obviously look at them as to fairness and so forth and workability. That process at the moment is apparently taking quite a long time, because it's now, you know, the local Ombuds office is not coping and so forth and so forth. So you were always going to have the situation where a good idea, the rollout maybe not so great. I don't honestly believe, I'm not one of those that carries the sentiment that society is better when governed by politicians or governments. I think I think really people on the ground are quite capable of resolving most of their own issues until you get to a point where there's a dispute that needs to be regulated or considered by somebody who's qualified. So it is a good system. I haven't really spent any time looking at the new rules that are proposed that you just referred to, but generally things work well. I've always been a big fan of the fact that you're taking your sectional title scheme or your homeowners association and you're running it on a localized level, and you've got that cooperation. You've got things that you can do as a collective that you can't necessarily achieve on your own if you just have an IRF in the suburbs. So these are all good things, and I think generally this communal living really, really works well when done properly. And we just have to look at all the estates around us and how well they function, and you never hear of one being in any kind of trouble in terms of its management or its finances, or, you know, it's essentially just taking control of your own destiny as a homeowner or as a property owner. Mm. And being able to govern what your pavements look like, what your roads look like, who comes and who goes.
You know, you say that, and I think it's absolutely right in terms of the big developments around us. Those are obviously under all sorts of excellent management. But I believe some of the older schemes, and particularly those share blocks that would be considered, I suppose, cluster living on the sea, many of those have apparently become badly fallen behind with levies, fallen behind with all sorts of bits and pieces that make it almost impossible. I was talking to someone the other day that was considering, they were living in an apartment owned by an aged parent, and they were going to take ownership of it until they discovered that the outstanding levies in that particular scheme had reached such alarming proportion, just due to, I suppose, bad management, that in order to regularize that, there was going to be some kind of, would need to be a special levy that was going to make it unattractive, unaffordable. Have you heard of these things?
So there's a couple of things to unpack there. One is the good thing about sectional title schemes and homeowners associations is if you want to transfer your unit in a scheme or your IRF in a homeowners association, you need the governing body to file a consent in the deeds office simultaneously with your transfer documents, saying, amongst other things, that you are a paid-up member of the scheme and that you're compliant with the rules of that scheme. So ultimately, anyone who doesn't pay their levies is in for a big surprise, because first of all, they'll add up over time. Secondly, they'll attract interest, which will be compounded over time. So, I mean, we've got a situation in the building where I practice, where one of our co-owners is the recently struck off attorney from Umhlanga Rocks, and hasn't paid levies for a couple of years now. And you know, there's a liquidation probably coming, and so forth. And we're sitting there. Some of the units have been sold, and we know that on transfer we're going to get, you know, a couple of hundred thousand rand on each unit in the rear levy. So,
wow! So are you all responsible for that?
No. We get paid that. Uh-oh. We get it back with interest.
Okay.
So in one sense, it's never doom and gloom in these schemes, because you always get your money back. But in the short term, you could face a cash flow problem. Strictly speaking, what should happen is that, you know, somebody should be taken to. I'm good friends with Barbara Schengler, who's an extremely good property manager in our area. And you know, they just have a very simple scheme. You know, 30 days you get a letter, 60 days you get handed over, and so you go. And that's how schemes should be run. Should be run strictly, and you shouldn't let things get to a point. You know.
Mm.
What often happens is you get somebody who sort of falls into arrears, and then sort of every now and again
they make
an attempt and make promises and pay a fraction of what's owed and so forth. And I think a lot of us rest, you know, secure in the knowledge that at the end the comeuppance is waiting, and we do get the money. So it's a debt that you can't really lose on.
Okay,
but yeah, if they are in a scheme where the levies are grossly in arrears, and there's lots of people that are in arrears, then that's obviously a sign of maladministration. Somebody should have taken them to task. You also got to be very careful in a situation like that, where if you allow things to go badly to a point where your scheme doesn't have money to pursue all these debts, and now you just have to pay the play that waiting game for them to start transferring units out. And so, and normally you also have a problem that if somebody isn't paying their levies, they're most likely not paying their rates.
When so, someone is looking at a property on the market that's in a shared, whatever the scheme is it incumbent on the estate agent to reveal that, look, there's a bit of a problem here with unpaid levies, and it's going to be a
yeah. We deal with levies in a couple of ways. One of them is you obviously ask and you say, you know, do you know of any special levy that's about to be raised? Because you don't want a situation where you buy a property and then 2 weeks later they tell you that there's a special levy of 200,000 rand each and you're in for it, because you don't have a choice, you have to pay.
Wow. And so and that could be crippling. I mean, that could be,
but you know, that's a question that you ask when you buy, and you say, well, are there any funny levies coming that you're aware of?
Now, what about the buyer that doesn't ask those questions? Should the estate agent not be obligated to reveal that?
Yeah, well, most agreements nowadays sort of deal with the issue of special levies. They say that any levies raised prior to the sale will be for the seller, and any raised afterwards obviously for the buyer. And then you could always include a clause that says the seller is unaware of any special levies and warrants that there are none coming, if the seller is aware of that. You know, sometimes special levies really come out of the blue. For example, I can imagine there were a lot of special levies suddenly in Umshloti after the floods. You know, and any poor bloke who bought in, 2 days before the flood would have found himself facing a bit of a disastrous special levy situation.
I see there are enormous court cases raging now. Well, massive claims, yeah. Huge amounts.
I haven't kept up with that, Dave. But you know, one thing about that people always forget, because they look at this levy thing that you have to pay, and they go, well, you know, I'm paying rates, and now on top of that, I'm paying levies. Well, yeah. In a sectional title scheme, first of all, that includes your insurance on your unit, you know, your lick of paint every 5 to 10 years, all the maintenance on the exterior, all the gardens, so these are things where that I know, and you know from owning your home, is that, you know, the outgoings on owning a property can be substantial. So, you know, your levy covers all of that for you. You shouldn't be spending a cent on the outside of your building or on the gardens or anything like that. So, you know, if you're in a sectional scheme. So the levies are based on the expenses for the scheme over a one-year period divided by the number of people that own there. Well, it's not that simple. It's also in proportion to how much area you have in the scheme.
Is it calculated like that?
Yes, yes. So that's your participation quota. So they'll say, well, you own 200 squares out of 20,000 squares, so you're paying that ratio of the expenses of the scheme every year.
And then the common areas you're not paying.
You don't factor those in.
No. Okay.
And so what also happened with CSOS, which was very good, is they make it now compulsory for every the body corporate to set aside a percentage of their levies for the future, so into some sort of stabilization fund. So a lot of things where, you know, they don't get run very recklessly. It is, David, it is very, 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 very seldom that we come across a badly run scheme, because most of them have managing agents, and all the managing agents are professional to a degree. They run these schemes properly. So that's the one side of it. Look, I'd rather be in a scheme like that or in a homeowners association than rely, for example, on the municipality for everything. So it does give us some independence, some sort of, makes us masters of our own destiny in a localized sense.
And I noticed part of the changes that have been brought in 2025 with regard to the management of these schemes is that the responsible individuals that are now in positions of authority in these schemes, if something is discovered to be untoward, they can be held personally liable, which is something.
Well, Dave, that's always been the case.
So, oh, really?
So, yeah. Your trustees in schemes and your directors and homeowners associations, if they're negligent or reckless and they cause a loss to the HOA or to the to the scheme, then they can be held personally liable. We've I was involved in a matter a few years ago where precisely that happened. You know, the trustees had underinsured the scheme. There was some loss. There was a shortfall. And they also are insured for their own negligence. So there was an insurance claim and then another insurance claim to get to the total of the damage. So that's also quite interesting. But, yeah, they've always been liable. Obviously, you know, they have to be almost grossly negligent. I mean, if they're acting in good faith and they make a bad call, that's not the end of the world. Somebody has to make a call. It was Roosevelt who spoke about the man in the ring. And so, you know, the people that are you know, seized with having to make these decisions will make some good ones and some bad ones. But if they're grossly negligent or they intentionally cause loss to the scheme, then they will be liable for it. You know, you can also have fraud, of course, because you're dealing with, you know, when you're dealing with many units and the levies, it becomes a lot of money that you're governing. And so that you're presiding over. So there's always the possibility of fraud. But that, again, is something very rare these days because everything's so transparent. You know, the management accounts are available to all. It's always been a case that you can ask the trustees for anything. If you're a homeowner or an owner in a scheme, you can ask them for the financials. You can ask them for minutes of meetings. You can, you know, it is meant to be a transparent system.
And as you say, it works well. The proof clearly is in the continued growth and expansion of the North Coast.
It's sort of like these little bubbles of order in what sometimes feels like chaos. So ultimately, I think that the average person, probably, you know, even the slightly above average person, ultimately their biggest asset and their most valuable asset is always going to be their land or their home. And so it's very important to feel like you're in control of that, that you're not up to the whims of whatever happens in your street or in your town. Or, you know, you can keep up your standards and you can, you know, your property. And, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. If you look at property values, the real escalation in property values has all happened behind in gated communities or in schemes. You know, that's
well across the board. But as you say, the developments that have come on stream in the past 20 years in Balito, many of them have quadrupled in value in 20
correct.
Years. I mean, from an investment perspective alone, even if it is your biggest asset, you know, you've made a good investment, and long may that last. I was in conversation this morning with the director of Devemco and Rainmaker Marketing about what's still to come on the North Coast. And apparently the Club Med effect, they call it, where, you know, apparently Cancun has never seen anything like it. Club Med arrived. It changed the economy.
It was a little fishing village in Mexico. And
apparently, and this is, they say, going to happen with surety on the North Coast. So it's
also
good to
also, we've got other things as well that are positive. You know, it looks like we're going to be upgraded again in our ratings as a country. Apparently, our interim budget was very good. Everybody sort of saw that we've kind of got a handle on our national debt. And
I see we have actually been upgraded. We're now BB, which is only 2 points into junk. I wasn't happy about that, but it's better than
you know,
we
were. Ultimately, we grasp at these little rays of sunshine that come through the clouds from time to time. And,
and apparently there's an almost 80% certainty of an interest rate cut tomorrow.
Yeah,
a 25 basis point interest rate. So, you know, if that does come
one
to
kind of feels like we may have bottomed out and we're now going up again. And, well, you know, I hope so. It certainly feels like it. I mean, if I look at the market and the transactions that I see coming over my desk, there's definitely a bit of a surge in the market. And that's always lovely to see for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Positive movement in the right direction, indicating that things are improving. Well, we'll take that. It's as we segue towards the festive season and things turn to peace on earth, goodwill to all.
Goodwill to all men, sure.
May those predictions come to pass, and the continuation of the growth of not only asset value, but generally speaking, good living on the North Coast. Well, we're all invested in that. And if you have a property matter that needs urgent attention and you're looking for the best, pop down to the Bolito Village and look for Kloppers Inc. Knock on the door. Have a chat with Gavin Steinhobel. You won't go wrong. Gavin, we'll chat again in a week.
Lovely, Dave. Thank you.
And the morning show continues.